I'm Veronica Williams. I'm the archive chair for Houston, I mean Texas Area Service Gulf Coast. And I'm doing an interview with Mr. James, we call him Nick
Nick.
Robbins. Robbins.
That's right.
Let's go. So he will be referred to as Nick from now on through the rest of this
All right. Nicar, that's
interview.
me.
And Nick, do you give us permission to actually interview you and put you in our archives for Cocaine Anonymous for the whole world to see
Oh.
from now on?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Well, thank you. I'm not gonna do a whole lot of talking. I might just interject and ask a question because I find that when you let people flow, that's why I send you the information. So when you
Yes.
start flowing, because something may come to you and you remember it, it's kind of cool
Yeah.
like that
Yeah.
instead of being so cut and dry. Because what we're doing with these is we're putting them on our website. Like, Hal is already on there, and you'll be going on there today or tomorrow where you can go in and look and hear your interview and things like that. But I am very, very honored that one of my predecessors has stepped up to the plate and still, on fire for the fellowship that we came into back in the 80s. I'm just so excited.
Yes. And don't
So
remind me, that seems so long ago.
I know. It's like, oh my God, we don't even want to go there.
Oh God.
So when
But
looking at these,
thank you, Veronica, for asking me too, you know.
you're welcome. I just
You call me to really dig, you know, and look at some stuff, look back at some things. And you know, I had to come out of the fog. I was still in the fog when I got deep fog. You know, Cocaine Anonymous was new. I was new, you know. So I had to really think about, you know, where we came from and how we got this thing started down, especially down, it was actually in Lamar. And then,
Right.
then
Right there in the Twin Cities,
we moved the
Texas City,
meeting.
Lamar.
Then we moved the meeting to Texas City later on. And then we
Well,
came back to Lamar. So we just bouncing all over the place.
wherever we can go, that's where we're going. Because somebody needs us wherever we show up, right?
Just depends on which side of the highway you was on down there, you know.
I feel that. So tell us your sobriety day when you came in to Cocaine Anonymous actually, and talk about any particular groups and how big the groups were and how it got started. Let's hear a little bit about that.
I actually came into got sober on September 22nd of 1988. And it was in that we started the Lamar chapter of the No Strings Attached CA group at the Lamar Presbyterian Church in 1990. So during those 2 years, you know, myself and a couple of guys that had came in before me, O'Shea R, he's deceased. Kenneth T, he's deceased. Carl and Sheila L, we had gotten sober together in 1988. And we would always travel up to St. Joseph's Hospital for the NA meeting up there. And we started hearing some talk about Cocaine Anonymous, which I hadn't heard any of these anonymous meetings except for AA. We had an old town drunk that the police would send him to them meetings, you know, to try to keep him sober because he'd be stumbling and staggering home every night. You know, and that was my view of what an alcoholic was. But through that, we came up with the No Strings Attached group down in Lamarck at that church. And actually started that meeting up. It was about, sure, well, because Mainland Center Hospital was the main feed for people that was coming in these different programs of all the industries down there in Texas City, Lamarck area that was feeding all their people to that recovery center down there that was actually headed up by a man named Earl Llewellyn, who was actually the principal at Lamarck High School and later on became the superintendent for Lamarck Independent School District. And then he left the school and started that program up there at that Mainland Center Hospital.
Oh.
So a lot of us went there and a lot of our jobs, which I got sent there through my job. And we got there and everything began from there by going to AA meetings, NA meetings. And then we eventually ended up starting a CA meeting before any one of us had ever went to a CA meeting. Now,
Wow.
I don't know how Carl, not Carl, but Kenneth and O'Shea actually started it up. They actually came out and said, oh, okay, we're going to have a CA meeting. They came to the NA meeting recruiting us when they first had the idea. Would you be in? Yeah, we want to win. Hey, I was for anything that was going to help me stay clean and sober. I ain't gotten beaten so down so bad. Yeah, CA sound good to me. And then, you know, they put their little pitch, and there's a lot of young people coming over there, a lot of crackheads. Though I wasn't a crackhead. I just did powder cocaine. And so I said, yeah, I go, I'm all for it. You know, because I'm serious, Veronica, for my first 5 years, I made no less than four meetings a week.
Wow.
For 5 years. And I made more than four a lot of times. Any chance I got to get into those rooms, I was there. And Cocaine Anonymous, hey, that was my, they told me about the drug of choice thing, you know, because I was like, my drug of choice was any, many, lots, more, often. And when those ran out, it was more often. And then it became yours and anybody else's and anything else that came along with it. And then, you know, that's the way I was. So I felt that, and it, my mentor was an old biker dude that had ingrained in me that the more I fed my addiction, I would have to feed my recovery just that much more. And I bought into that because I could understand it from what it had done to me, because I couldn't stop. And so when I gravitated all the information that was I was getting as I came into these rooms, Cocaine Anonymous was my drug of choice. So I fit right on in there. And like they said, when we started that meeting, this probably was about, because we had, I'm saying, we have about 100 and some people down there in that recovery center. It was that many of us. Every time we loaded up in buses to go to our recovery meetings, it'd be about 50, 60, 70 people going to these meetings. The bus was have to make two trips to get us all over there, to get us all over there. And as they started graduating out of these programs and going to meetings and stuff, the younger crackhead people, they love Cocaine Anonymous, because the first time we read that statement, who was a cocaine addict, wherever that came from, whenever it came, I don't know, but I was like, wow. You know, that straw to pipe the needle. Everybody kind of gravitated, and it was such a new thing. Well, nobody had ever heard that before, and they was talking about us. And so everybody started gravitating toward that. That was like a magnet. That who is a cocaine addict drew more people than anything else we had ever heard. And we had a lot of fun. Nothing more mattered more to us than the straw, the pipe, the needle. I only use on weekends. I hardly ever interfere with my work, you know, all that other stuff. I can quit. You know, that's a lie we told ourselves for years. Then we finally realized I can't. You know, but that, and we had fun with it. You know how it is. Couldn't fall asleep sometime without coke. You know what I'm saying? We'd be geeking and freaking and peeping and looking at stuff that wasn't there, and everybody could relate to it because we didn't hear that at that other fellowship. So that was a huge magnet for Cocaine Anonymous. And when we got in there, we had so much fun with it. It just rolled right into the meeting, and it made our recovery fun. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed fellowship with one another because we all could relate. We had done some of the same things, been to the same place, and plus our community being a small world, we knew a lot of the same people. We knew every dope dealer in town. The big guys, the little guys, the ones that did it on weekends, it didn't matter. But we knew, and so we hung together, we fellowshiped together. We were a close-knit people. Out of those 20 that actually started doing that meeting when we first came, we didn't start out with no one, two, or three. We had a group. Billy had a group. Bobby and Gerald and all them started coming. We had a whole bunch of people. And most of those people are gone now. But they, when we started that thing up, they jumped in there with both feet. Yep. And then it just grew and grew and grew until we, and then when we moved from over to the church, we moved over to the Salvation Army on the other side of the highway. So now we were really in Texas City. So we went over there and we started meeting over there at the Salvation Army. You wasn't there that long before my job transferred me down to Beaumont, which was another adventure. See, God's doing for me what I can't do for myself at this particular time, just putting me where he needed me to go to carry this message to addicts that were still suffering. And when I arrived in Beaumont, there was no CA meetings, so to speak. But what happened, what's so weird about it, I found an NA meeting over there, I found an AA meeting over there, and then somebody told me that they was having a CA meeting over at the Beaumont Behavioral Hospital. I say, really? So I said, let me go there and check this out. So I went over there, and what I noticed, it was a that I noticed not too long ago, it was very similar to what had happened when Cocaine Anonymous actually started in California in 79, when what's his name, John B. actually stumbled up on a group that was meeting at a hospital, but it was not officially Cocaine Anonymous organization as it is we know today. And they had the same thing going on at that hospital in Beaumont. But by the time I got there, I knew enough about CA that they had a Texas area service. They had all this other stuff going on. And I had never seen anybody from Beaumont in there.
Wow.
So when I got there, I said, what kind of meeting is this? They say, it's a Cocaine Anonymous meeting. I say, really? Where y'all littered to? You know me. I'm looking for that who is a cocaine addict. So I can start these guys and see if they was doing it like we was doing it down in Texas City. So lo and behold, they didn't have any kind of literature, anything. They just picked up the name Cocaine Anonymous. So Raymond T. and John Y. So I say, where y'all get y'all literature from? They didn't have any literature. They was using AA literature, and they were just basically having a meet once a week over there. I think it was Wednesday night. And they meet with all the people over there. So, but when I got there, I say, no, I say, you know, this is a registered trademark name. Y'all need to be affiliated with Cocaine Anonymous. There is a fellowship called Cocaine Anonymous, and y'all not a part of it. So you actually cannot use that name like that. And you're connected with this hospital, and that's a violation of the traditions, which they didn't know anything about. So they said, okay, well, you want to help us get organized? I say, sure, that's what I do. So they came, they, Veronica, I'm here to tell you. After I talked to them, we explained all that stuff to them. You know, them two guys left that meeting and I never saw them at another Cocaine Anonymous meeting. So by then I got it, and the little people that I had already met over there, I started bringing them over there to this meeting as we broke away from the hospital to be fully self-supporting and got away from them. Then that's when I started going to Texas Area Service, and they called the group the Freedom Group. That was just the name of it. And I renamed it to the New Freedom Group of Cocaine Anonymous. So that's and it's still that name to the day today, which I'll tell you about later because the meetings are not going on right now, but some trusted people over there are going to get it going back again. And both of these meetings had problems, especially when COVID came. That set it back a lot. But anyway, that's the basic history of it. And when I started going, because I was for this group. To get it off the ground, I was everything actually, the GSR, the secretary. I led the whole group because nobody else had, they didn't know anything about the structure, period, service work, none of that. So as everybody came in, I started introducing them to service work and things of that nature. And everybody over there started going. I was more into it, had enough sobriety behind me to know what the heck I was doing or wanting to do. And I knew the people up in Houston on how to do it, because by this time, I had met you. I had met a lot of people up there that knew Darryl, all the guys that was back in there that day that was really helping me out as I helped us out down there in Beaumont. So we stayed at that behavior hospital all the way up until 97, 98. And somewhere by that time, O'Vale had decided she wanted to quit hiding in AA and came on over. I see her. And I tell you, I said, you know you're more than an alcoholic, don't you? But you know, Bill. I'm an alcoholic. I said, no, I'll call you like you and Bill's a
Money,
crackhead.
property, and prestige, huh?
Yeah. So it was so funny when I first met Bill. And you know, Lois, my girl Lois, that was my ride or die. That was my ride or die right there. That doggone Lois, her and Bill, Bill couldn't. Now let me put it this way: Lois couldn't stand Bill. Lois straight up straight crackhead. Everybody, hey, you can look at Lois and know she was a crackhead. You know, Bill trying to hide everything. You know, it was so funny between them two, and I not have to be the mediator to keep him from wanting to, because Lois and I'm ready to cut him. That's the way Lois was, because I had to break them up many times, you know, to keep from getting at each other's throat. It was so funny.
I remember the
But
joke about Koontz, Texas. You used to always tell Lois, "Oh, you from Koontz."
yeah, well, all five of them know each other, you know. But it was so funny that when I really started, because you know what. By me doing everything for that group and going up to the Texas Area Service, I was meeting at Bonnie Bray at the time. Yeah, we was going to Bonnie Bray, and man, you know, all the people that were there, we had our own cast of characters. Right after that, we started, and what really sold a lot of people and got everybody so excited was that I can't remember what year it was, 90 something, because we had two conventions in Galveston, two Texas
Sure
Area
did.
conventions. Yeah, we had one at the Flagship Hotel before it was messed
Ninety
up.
two.
About here, was it 92?
The
We
world
had
was
that.
93.
Yeah, we had that one, and then we had the one at Moody Gardens. Yeah, years later,
Two
and
thousand.
now, yeah, now to bookend both of those, all in between there, we was really enjoying it. And the people in Beaumont enjoyed the Fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous because it was new to them as well. All they had was NA and C AA as well. And they really, and that pamphlet did the same thing that it did for us down here in Lamarck, Texas City, to the same thing to the people that was in Beaumont. And it was just such a fun atmosphere that people knew that when they went back out, not only were they going back out, they was taking us along with them, because we were that tight that when you relapsed, you hurt all of us. And you know, so we had people holding themselves accountable to themselves, their recovery, and to that group. Because every time I would come up there, I would actually bring somebody from the group with me. And I was a GSR and teaching people the ropes, and it ended up with the last one I bought was Vail, but Don Jackson and a couple of them came up there. And the character, people that we met up there at Texas Area Service was so friendly. Shauna Weatherspoon really stands out to me. I'm sorry, Shauna W. And Wanda, of course. And Wanda, now I met old Marilyn. I met Marilyn now as well. So I had Gail. Oh God, it was, yeah. Ingrid, I mean, Wilbur. It was so many people that I met there that I learned and got closer to over the years as I continued to come back and develop this group, the New Freedom Group. That was our heart. Matter of fact, I still got my New Freedom Group t-shirts up there. Yeah, I still got them from when we first started. We got our first, we wore our shirts to the first convention. We were so proud walking around there with our little chest stuck out. Yo, New Freedom, Beaumont, Texas. And we had such a good time. We'd always get our hospitality suite, bring our people from Beaumont to Houston, get our suite, and we participate. They hold marathon meetings, workshops, all of that. Speakers, I spoke at one convention, and it was really, really nice, you know, along with Daryl and Hal K, because man, Hal was such a inspiration. He was more than inspiration. You know, he was actually somebody that came out and a lot of people gravitated towards Hal be just because of his personality and, his genuine interest in helping people succeed. So every chance we got, we get him to come down there, and he loved it. He came down there and supported us. He helped us grow. So we got a lot of people that really gravitated towards him. And as we started actually doing this stuff, all the people that was kind of stowed away in Alcoholics Anonymous started coming to Cocaine Anonymous. And it seemed like though we used the same big book as Alcoholics Anonymous, it opened up a whole new avenue for a whole lot of people to where they could actually see those first 164 pages totally different than the way they had seen them previously. And they finally learned that they could actually apply cocaine instead of alcohol in that book. And once we did that and we started stressing that at our book studies and things of that nature, man, there was so many people that had recovery. And I got so close to so many people, I got too close to a lot of them because a lot of them went back out. And I got to see for my own recovery how devastating it was to their families when they did that. Because I knew I got to know a lot of the moms of the young guys. I knew their moms. I knew their family, sisters, brothers, all that. And man, boy, I seen so many mothers hurt. It just hurt me, that they were hurt. I never felt hurt for somebody else like that before. Hey, you remember? Hey, I came out. It took me some years to get out of the fog and all them meetings I was making to get the finally to get the fog lifted off my head to where I could say, "Oh yeah, okay." And it took on a whole new different thing, Veronica, for a whole lot of people. And that's what it's all about: seeing how our experience can benefit others. And we carrying this message, and we continue to carry this message, and keep doing what we're doing to help people. Because you at the state the way this country is and that today, our neighborhoods and communities, we need to do something different. We need to get back to the basics in order to get our people off of the streets for messing with them. This stuff is crazy. And I
Why
love
don't
Texas
you,
every day.
excuse me, let's talk about how you've talked a lot about all these things, these questions that we have here. What about and you talked about conventions and things like that, and y'all having your t-shirts. What do you think is your most memorable thing that
Oh,
happened to you or
my
happened
God.
with you or you saw happen in Cocaine Anonymous?
Oh, my God. I have to go back to celebrate around
All right.
the world. Ooh, we got such a kick out of having celebrated around the world at the park in Beaumont. We were at the park in Beaumont, and Hal came down for that too. And we pulled a couple of people from the Houston area down there for it was very well supported, and just knowing that everybody was at the second Saturday in March.
First
What is
Saturday
it?
in there.
First Saturday in March. First Saturday in March. That everybody in Cocaine Anonymous was doing it, and we were a part of that. So it made us feel very inclusive. Everybody was glad to do it. I mean, we had a grand time. And what I really like about it is that first year, by this time, by me being from Lamarck, Texas City, I had got the two groups together. Yeah. And we fellowship with one another. We'd actually, was depending on the year, for a stretch there. And the first time we did it, the group from Texas City came over to Beaumont. The night before the convention started, and we meet at somebody's house after the meeting, and we'd be up half the doggone night, get up early the next morning, and drive to the convention in Houston. So we did that in the first time we did it in Beaumont. The second year that they celebrated around the world came back after they changed it from Dance Around the World. We traveled from Beaumont down to the group in Texas City.
Oh.
Yeah, so they had By this time, they were still at the Salvation Army, but that was all Wieners had went out of business, right? So Wieners had a big store right in downtown Texas City that was now some type of community center. So they had gotten that building to for their celebrate around the world. And so the two groups came together again. And we went down, Hal came down there too, thinking he was gonna whoop somebody in basketball and domino. We ran him right on back to Houston. We whooped Hal K so bad. And Hal K, I want you to see this video because you know we cut you up good down there in Texas City. Basketball and domino. You couldn't hang.
I love to hear that.
But we, you know, I'm telling the truth too. I still got some witnesses. You know, so we partied hard. That was in 90, it had to be 98. I think the next year Hal had that party like it's 99.
Yeah, that was a
1999 was his,
regional. Uh-huh.
at the convention. But we had such a blast. Oh my goodness. And just to see the recovery, the camaraderie, the friendships that were made, the
Yep.
bonds that were created between Lamarck, Texas City, Beaumont, between our people that would stand up and do anything for us. I still got some of the pictures of a lot of the people that were there.
Wow.
Yeah, we had, cause we, the one year we met at Lois' house. We met at Lois' house after the meeting, and we had time. By the time it was time for everybody to go home, we stood out in the parking lot while Lois was staying there, and just stayed out there and talked for a while, about another hour before everybody left, and then we came on to the convention. But that was something that we did. We enjoyed it. We loved it, and it was just a beautiful thing, man. We was thriving. We was having such a good time with Ronald. Drugs was behind us.
Yeah.
You know, though we going one day at a time, nobody used the day. We were happy about where we were, happy about what we doing, happy to be in the Fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous, carrying this message to people that's still out there suffering. And we went all over Beaumont, Lamarck, and Texas City, carrying this message to people that still suffer. My highlight was too was coming up to Texas Area Service to see the people that was up there in Houston, the delegates. Man, you were even a delegate back then, I believe. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and so asked, what's this delegate stuff all about? So we started looking into that, you know, down by the, you know, we know about the conventions, but the World Service Conference and all that other kind of stuff that was going on. Yeah, it was very, very, very good. You know, just to see the organization of how all the GSRs came from the different. I think the Valley hadn't split
Right.
yet. Because that was a controversy for us too. We had a rough time dealing with what was his name? Yeah, we didn't like it, but you know they had to grow, and we had to give them and we had to give them room to grow. So and Texas Area Service is just fine, you know. Yeah. So I oh well, God, this program has given me so much. You know, one thing personal I have to throw in here right here. I'm a second generation preacher's kid. My daddy was a preacher, and his daddy was a preacher. And I'm sure my grandfather had to get it from somewhere. So I know I'm third generation. And when I got on my knees, when I got beat to death and got on my knees, and just all I said was, God, help me. And that's all I said. And things started happening in my life that I, to this day, I know it was him. Because I can't explain. And matter of fact, I was fighting it, and it was still happening. But I tell people all the time, that's my story. But when I got on my knees and asked God to help me, He did not send me to church with my daddy. He got me to a place that were people just like me, that had been where I'd been, done what I'd done, felt like I felt, failed like I failed, getting back up. Getting themselves together, getting their lives together, and moving forward. You know, I got a chance to do all of those things in Cocaine Anonymous. You know, and that's awesome.
What
That is.
service work gave you the most lift? Like what all the service work that you've done many things, but what could you pinpoint gave you the biggest like thrill when you were actually carrying the message?
I would say I like being the treasurer, though we didn't have much money.
Remember that.
Hey, I made sure we made our contributions to the area, and I made sure that every penny that was collected was accounted for the purpose in which it was collected. You know, we wasn't gonna abuse, because you know, it was so many times people were just running off with the money. And I wanted to make sure, and I do this to this day, that when I'm handling money, I want everybody to be assured that that money is going to be used for the purpose for which we collected it for. It's not going to go towards anything else without the approval from the people that contributed to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I feel good about that, knowing that I have never taken one red cent of Cocaine Anonymous money for anything.
Yeah.
So that gives me personal satisfaction. But like you said, so many of them being a GSR, traveling from Beaumont to Houston, I enjoyed every minute of it, because you know, it gave me a chance to fellowship with the person that I was taking with me, because I never went alone. I always had somebody with me, sometimes two people, you know, and getting a chance to fellowship, then we stop on the way home, break bread somewhere, and get on back. Start the next week. I enjoyed all of it. I enjoyed coming up there meeting with y'all, especially when I used to get a kick out of Daryl when Daryl was a chairperson of Texas Area Service. Because he, oh, you know, he was so authoritarian, you
Yeah.
know.
But I like when he say, "Don't nail me to the cross." That mean, okay, you got me, you got me.
It does. I miss Daryl tremendously,
I really
tremendously.
miss him. But I want to ask you this one question. This is a very important question. How would you like to be remembered in Cocaine Anonymous?
I'd like to be remembered as somebody that trusted, that you could trust,
Wow.
you know, that to be a friend, a mentor, or whatever you needed me to be. I wanted to be that for you. Whatever your need was, I wanted to have enough God-given ability through a lot of prayer and meditation and working that 11th step, that I could be able to meet that need, that whenever God put somebody in front of me, I was going to handle it like it's his business and not my own. And to let that person know that whatever you're going through is something we say all the time. You don't have to go through it by yourself, but you have to do it for yourself. And then my message to other people is, you want somebody you can trust? I tell people, come to me. I don't put your business in the street. What happens between me and you is said between me and you, stays right here. It goes no further. And I hold that high esteem to this day, no matter what it is, because that jeopardizes not only a person's sobriety, it can jeopardize their life as well.
Well,
So
I
it's
want to
been.
thank you for being a elder statesman in Cocaine Anonymous for me, because all of the things that you just brought back in my mind when I was watching you guys and y'all coming, you know, it was like all the way from Beaumont. People were coming from Galveston and Lamarck and Texas City, and then we would go down there and do these things. That was a part of what attracted me to Cocaine Anonymous, because you guys were always on the move, always doing something. It was always something to learn, and it just it y'all mix y'all knew how to mix all that with fun, and we
Yeah,
would
exactly.
laugh. Oh, we would laugh. We were dead serious about what we were doing, but we knew how to have fun doing it. I'm
Yes,
so
we
grateful
did.
to you for being a part of that for me, because
Well,
that's
thank you.
part of the reason why I stayed, because we're not a glum lot like the big book saying, and we can get business done and have fun at the same time. I don't know, you know, I don't know how people could do it without having fun, because y'all showed us,
I
man,
know.
we can do this. You know, next minute we doing a whirl, and we don't know what we're doing, but we're gonna do it
But
anyway.
we doing
And
it. But we
everybody
doing
was so tight. I remember when Galveston took the 92 convention, because Houston had 93 in the world, and then Corpus took it in 94 so we could defrag. You know, it was
it.
just a beautiful thing to be in the state of Texas and all
Yes, you
these
will.
people. And then I talked to Alma the other day. Alma them started in Abilene and Dallas and all of that. So
I remember her.
yes. So we're just excited about hearing your story because so many of our pioneers are going on to the big meeting in the sky.
Yes, they are.
They
Yes, they
are,
are.
but they made such an impact on our lives, my life,
Yes.
that
Oh, yeah.
that's why I'm still here. That's why I want to show the newcomer. I'm glad for the opportunity to be able to show the newcomer people like yourself that can really inspire them to know that they're part of something much greater than they can realize sometimes. So your final words for us, what would you give us as your final words, Nick?
As my final words, I would like to tell everybody, I would like to tell everybody, reach out to as many people as you can. Work to reach someone every day. Because we might be the only recovery that they see. We need to let them know that the life that they're living, it can change. And if you do follow these suggestions that's laid out in this program, your life will change. You will comprehend the word serenity and you will know peace. And you know, as we go, as we trudge this road of happy destiny, you know, we're gonna pray that God keep you until then, until we see each other again. I want people to know. You know what I did miss? That made me think about that, by reaching out. Beaumont, we reached out. We reached Orange. We reached Orange and Port Arthur. And in Lamar, Texas City, we did hook up with Galveston. We went back and forth down Galveston County over there between Lamar, Texas City and Galveston, Orange, Port Arthur, and Beaumont when I was over there. And so I'd like to see us kind of get back to some of that. You know.